Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
He definitely was growing more intense as the night grew.
I've been waiting months, years for it to come.
You started telling me about the pat-down procedure, Miss Gampy.
Totally. The media makes it sound as if everybody should have sex for money.
When you're really ready to play, play Prem Nevada.
Oh, it's big.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And remember that
you're really ready to play. 877-876
Phil. And of course, this is the News Talk and Entertainment Show that knows what it's talking about. And this is where I guess this is where all the chumps get off, man. Because where we go, most talk shows, all talk shows, frankly, can't go. 877-876 Phil. The TSA pat downs continue to cause controversy. And coming up next hour, we talk about the TSA pat-downs from the TSA perspective. And we have with us Art Griego, retired commercial pilot, who will talk about that with us. Also, middle-aged Americans hate their sex lives. Well, there's a newsflash. Plus, the Ground Zero mosque developers want federal grant money. And this hour, we have Mr. Lloyd Bonafide is going to be joining us, who is a 78-year-old married man from Alhambra, California, whose wife is terminally ill, and who is going to talk to us about this idea of mercy killing. Seal Beach, California, a month before his 70th wedding anniversary, an 88-year-old man was arrested on suspicion of murder after police found his wife dead of a gunshot wound. Now the couple's daughter telling the Los Angeles Times the shooting was a mercy killing. That's coming up tonight. That's going to be very dramatic. Our number again, 877-876-PHIL. And tonight we spotlight KRPT 92.5 FM in San Antonio, our affiliate spotlight, and WWKB 1520 AM, Buffalo, New York, Niagara Falls. Two stations that get it on the Phil Hendry Radio Network. 877-876-PHIL. So this is a story that is, and let me get on the line here, this gentleman in Alhambra, his name is Lloyd Bonafide, joining us. Hi, Mr. Bonafide, how are you, sir?
Yes, sir.
And how are you tonight, sir?
Yes, sir, I'm doing fine, thank you.
Did you hear me mention this gentleman in Seal Beach?
Yes, sir, I heard the story earlier, and I must say that, I empathize with the gentleman. I don't know the particulars of his situation, but I'm sure that very similar. It's very, very tragic. And I will tell you that, in my opinion, there must be an organization formed or some group of people formed to, to advocate.
Yes, sir.
On behalf of the elderly who find themselves in this situation.
All right. Well, I'm going to talk to you now about your situation with your wife, who is how old?
She is 77 years of age. She's a year younger than me.
77. Tell me about when you became alarmed concerning her behavior.
We were married in 1956. I had been out of the Navy, and we had started a heating and plumbing business in the Alhambra area here, and she was my partner in the business. Well, we retired the business, and we sold that to my daughter and this gentleman that she married, and retired here to our home. Probably about a year or so ago, she began.
Can I ask you what's your wife's first name?
Marjorie.
Okay. Go ahead, sir. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yes, sir. That's all right. About a year ago, she began to develop these symptoms where she wanted to leave the house, and to the best of my ability to understand it, she wanted to wander and engage in different things that I didn't understand. I certainly didn't want her doing.
She was wandering outside of the house.
Yes, sir. And wanting to get on buses and driving into the Los Angeles. You could get the bus up here on Huntington Drive and drive into Los Angeles. And this, of course, is extremely dangerous for an elderly woman.
Going by herself.
Yes, sir. And these were things that I had told her that, as her husband, I didn't want her to do. And nonetheless, I noticed that she was doing this. The most frightening aspect to any of this, Mr. Henry, is that when you have a wife or a loved one doing this, and you try to enlist the aid of family members, and they don't care, or they don't seem to understand.
Did you say you have a daughter?
Yes, sir.
And did you try to get her assistance?
Yes, sir. And my daughter was utterly disinterested.
Is that like your daughter? I mean, do you have a good relationship with her?
We have a wonderful relationship with my daughter. I don't understand why she has suddenly lost interest in the well-being of her own mother. But I can tell you that I'm not I don't like the man she married. I have not liked this gentleman since she married him.
Do you believe that this man is keeping your daughter from being more concerned?
I don't know. I don't know. All I know is I'm all alone.
Have you tried to enlist the aid of doctors?
Yes, sir, and I cannot get to first base with any of these people. I've called several doctors. She's been to see them. Now, the most recent episode was last week. She's going to go into Los Angeles on a bus. She was going to go into Hollywood on this bus. And I told her that I did not approve and that I didn't want her to go in there. And she nonetheless had the bus schedule. On the 29th, she's going.
She's going on a bus to do what, sir? She's going...
Well, it's not into Los Angeles anymore. Now she's going into Hollywood.
Did she go into... Has she succeeded in getting on this bus? Is she paying her way? You know...
No, I've been able to keep her from doing this, but and I've sat her down and told her that I don't approve of it. And she looks at me almost with a blank... The blank stare. And, of course, my first fear is that there is some Alzheimer's or dementia.
And, of course.
And, you know, that scares me the most.
I understand. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, here with Mr. Lloyd Bonafide of Alhambra, California, whose wife has exhibited behavior that he feels is the early stages of dementia. And we're talking about this because of this mercy, so-called alleged mercy killing of a woman down in Seal Beach, California, on Sunday. And you're not considering anything like this, are you?
No, I love my wife, but I can't have her doing things that are going to be directly opposed to what I have instructed her to do. Now, on the 29th of November, I have this bus schedule that she had circled here, that she wants to go into Hollywood. And she had a fixation for the longest time that I wanted her medicated, and they wouldn't do it, on this television man, this Bob Barker. You know,
Yes, sir.
And this was terribly... It worried me, and I told our daughter, and I told my son-in-law. Now she's going to go into Hollywood, and this program Price is Right. Now, this Barker hasn't been on this show.
No, they've got a new host on the show. Is she going to go see the Price is Right, thinking that Bob Barker's on it?
I don't know, but she's got the 29th and then the 30th to go into the city of Los Angeles on the bus, or into Hollywood, I think. I guess they... And I have told her that I'm opposed to this.
What does she say?
She just looks at me with that blank it's a dementia look from what I've read up on, where they don't understand you.
And is she not talking?
Well, she makes the nonsensical, you know, sounds. I like it. I want to. And as if she's a child, you know.
So she is. So where have her bus trips taken her? Or you say she hasn't taken any?
I've been able to keep her from harming herself. Yes, up to this point.
In what way harming herself? You mean by getting on the bus?
Oh, yes, sir. In other words, this is a dangerous city to live in, Los Angeles, like a lot of cities, but this city in particular, because this is a 77-year-old woman that wants to go into the city of Los Angeles, into Hollywood, which is an area where they attract. There's a lot of these weirdos that are attracted there. And why would you want to wander the streets of Hollywood as an elderly woman? And this is why I'm...
Well, she did say that she... You know that she wants to go to Hollywood to see The Price is Right.
Well, but she likes this Bob Barker, and he is no longer on that show. So why would she want to do that? And then... if you are familiar, and are you familiar at all with Hollywood, sir?
Yes, sir.
Well, you know they had these... every kind of individual, and people are wandering the streets there, and they stop and they go into these bars. I am so worried, and I have told her over and over that I don't approve.
And she is not paying any attention to you?
She's not paying any attention to me, and so I'm going to have to keep her from leaving the house on Monday, but I don't know how I'm going to do that, given the fact that Monday is a warehouse day at the business that I still own, and I have to be there. Do I have it?
All right, take it easy.
I don't know what I'm going to do.
All right, Lloyd, you want to hang the line here? All right, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. So this gentleman's wife, he says, is exhibiting some dementia, that she wants to get on the bus and go to Hollywood and go see The Price is Right against his wishes. Lloyd, let me ask you this. Is she, is there any way perhaps you can send somebody with her?
Why would I want her? It would be like sending something with her into the same danger. I don't want her going, and she has steadfastly refused my instructions. And I ask myself, what? She's losing her mind. She has never, ever, as long as we've been married, disobeyed anything that I've told her. And now...
All right, sir. I know how you feel.
I don't want her going to the Price is Right. I didn't approve of it. And why she's...
All right, I understand. You feel there's dementia or there's some kind of Alzheimer's because she's doing this because you don't approve.
Yes, because she has always... No, it's not because I don't approve. It's because it's dangerous. It's because it is Alzheimer's-like behavior.
And what makes it Alzheimer's-like behavior?
To go into Hollywood as a 77-year-old woman in a van with other elderly people that The Price is Right is inviting tragedy.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, Mr. Lloyd Bonafide. His wife is Marjorie. She's getting on a bus on the 29th of November. She's going to take it into Los Angeles from the suburbs where they live. She's going to go to The Price is Right. She might walk Hollywood Boulevard with her other elderly people. And her husband is deathly afraid that this activity is indication of Alzheimer's. Or, frankly, Bud, from what I understand, the Alzheimer's is the fact that she is directly disobeying what he told her not to do. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. When your wife or your spouse disobeys you after so many years of doing what you wanted, is it time to have them looked at? Is it possible dementia? Your calls plus next hour, Art Griego with the TSA Pat Downs, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
She's gone crazy.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
I understand. I understand. 877-876-PHIL. Welcome back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show with me. A man from Alhambra, California, whose wife is suffering from, and you say, sir, has a dementia or Alzheimer's, that she is engaging in some kind of dangerous behavior. Now, we're going to get to some phone calls, and certainly we have these tragedies involving a spouse killing another spouse because of Alzheimer's or this kind of dementia. You're afraid of... In your own home, right?
Yes, sir.
You're afraid were you afraid you're going to have to kill your wife?
Oh, no, sir. I'm afraid that my wife is irreparably, has this condition. And I have never had to consider, I guess, something like this. My own mother, my wife wanted to put in the hospital because she felt she had a dementia, is what we used to call it.
Mm-hmm.
When she walked in and saw my mother boiling her underwear in a soup pot, and I said, "My mother, she's kidding." So Marjorie knows.
Your own mother was your mother was kidding?
You've got to be kidding to be doing something like that. And I told my wife that. Now what she wants to do is get into a van with these other seniors and go into Hollywood and go to this television program. In the middle of the day when the traffic is, and I said to her, I forbid it. And she said she's going anyway. I'm sorry, but...
I know you're upset. I know you're upset.
But...
She's going with other seniors. Whose van is it?
It's owned by the senior center... Where they take people, I guess if you want to go in the van, they'll take you to these.
So this is some kind of a field trip, or
a field trip. It's the behavior of an individual who has this kind of developing dementia.
It sounds to me like a senior citizen's trip to see them tape The Price is Right.
No, sir. No, sir, at all. It is not. It is my wife telling me what she's going to do when I told her you will not do it.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. So we're talking to Mr. Lloyd Bonafide here about his wife's mental condition, the dementia, if you will. Charlie in Redding, California, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
You know, I think this is a perfectly normal thing, and I'm not sure who's developed dementia here. A van load of senior citizen women going to Hollywood is a great idea.
No, it's not. I guess you don't know much about Hollywood.
Well that's all right, exactly well, what they need to do.
So is the idea...
Stimulate their brain.
You don't know anything about Hollywood, and you don't know anything about the elderly.
Well, what you don't want her to go? Well, you don't want her to go? Why?
I don't. I told you it is dangerous. If you know anything, have you ever been to Hollywood, sir?
Yeah, I worked there for 4 years. I think this is more about you wanting control of your wife.
Doing what? You work? Yeah, doing what?
In law enforcement.
You worked in Hollywood for the Hollywood Police Department.
No, in the whole Los Angeles basin, sir. I think this is about you wanting control of your wife. How much more time does she have left? Let her have some fun.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you approve of an old woman wandering down Hollywood Boulevard? Is that what you used to approve of as a police officer?
Well, I don't believe The Price is Right is wandering down Hollywood Boulevard.
Is that wandering down the street?
It's what they had planned on doing. They'll go to The Price is Right and then wander down a street.
And they'll go to The Price is Right and then wander down a street. Why are they going to go to The Price is Right and perhaps take a walk to a souvenir stand? Or
Mr. Henry, you're not this woman's husband, nor is this Charlie, if I've got his name right. I'm the husband. I am. This is exactly what I went through with my daughter. It's that one swinging. No one understands.
All right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back with Lloyd Bonafide.
Phil Hendry.
No one understands.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Lloyd Bonafide with me as we talk about his wife, Marjorie, who's exhibiting signs of dementia. And we have to, Lloyd, at some point, we've got to take this right to what it is you're going to do. She has, you say she's getting on a bus, or she wants to climb on buses. You have to keep her from climbing on these buses that go off to Hollywood to watch. Is it always The Price? I don't understand. The Price is Right?
They go to Hollywood, and they want to look at a television show. And you don't understand to be alone in this battle. I'm alone in trying to keep her from killing herself. And I said to her, you aren't
going to
go.
But you're telling me she's going to Hollywood to watch The Price is Right. You know, can I say something? My mother, when she was alive, got into a little van with other friends of hers, and they went to see, what the hell was the show with Cybill Shepherd?
Mr. Henry, I'm not interested in hearing other tragic stories of you allowing your mother to go and watch. Did you direct your mother not to do that?
Sir, I did not know my mother was doing it, but after she told me about it, I thought it was great. It wasn't a game show. It was something else.
Let me tell you something. A story from last week to give you an idea of how far things have deteriorated in my own home. In my own home, I asked my wife, Marjorie, I said, if you'd get me the cherry blend tobacco and my pipe, because I still smoke a pipe. And God help me, she said that she wasn't going to do it. And I said to her, what did I just hear you say? And she said, I'm not getting your pipe. I got up. I almost lifted her off the floor. I grabbed her apron and I said, what did you say to me? And I couldn't believe it. I put her down gently and I said, my God, it's begun.
She would not get your pipe. And
no, I didn't say that, sir. I said she wouldn't get my tobacco, sir.
And all right, she wouldn't get your tobacco, and you went and grabbed her. You were angry. And
I was frightened, sir. I was frightened for the mental state of my wife.
877-876-PHIL. Let me go to a phone call here to get into this hour with Lloyd Bonafide from Alhambra, California. We've got Renee on the line from Danville, Virginia, listening on WZTK. Renee, good evening. Thank you. Go ahead.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
I'm inclined to agree with the previous caller. It sounds more like a control issue than a dementia or an Alzheimer's issue. It sounds like, as Mr. Bonafide stated, she's always obeyed him since 1956. And now all of a sudden she's decided to do what she wants to do. And that sounds more like he's just angry because she's not obeying him.
I can tell that what you and Mr. Henry, you want me to believe that I have Alzheimer's, don't you?
No, sir. I didn't say you had Alzheimer's. No, sir. That's not what I said. I said you're angry because she's no longer obeying you. It sounds like a harmless senior day trip is what she's going on. It's
yes,
just a senior day trip to go and see
it's
a game
trip.
Show. And it doesn't sound. And now, the more I listen to you talk, Mr. Bonafide, the more I understand why the doctors and your daughter aren't seeing this as a serious issue as you are, because it sounds harmless. It doesn't sound like she's in the early stages of dementia or Alzheimer's. I haven't heard you say that she wanders, she leaves the home without telling you where she's going. She's told you where she's going.
Oh, my God, I wish someone would listen to me. I wish someone would listen to me. Yes, I did.
No, you didn't, because what Renee just said, she's telling you where she's going.
She's getting on a bus, and she's going into Los Angeles, one of the most dangerous cities in the world.
And she's telling you she's on a bus with the seniors. Renee just hit the nail on the head. It's called a day trip, and they plan them, and the senior centers put them together. Right, Renee? And the people go to these...
The senior citizens will go to a flower show. I've seen where they go to the flower shows, but I have never heard of putting a defenseless women on a bus and taking them down to a television program.
People go to those all the time, man. They're always coming into Hollywood to watch those shows. They don't you ever see them? You know?
Yes, I'm not an idiot.
Well, you see the people. Hi, I'm from here. I'm from there. They're from everywhere.
But they don't take them in there as elderly women who are telling their husbands essentially the following thing. I was your wife since 1956, but I'm not going to be your wife anymore. I want to go in. I'm going to be Bob Barker's whore.
Oh, Bob Barker's whore. Is that what you just said?
Goodness.
You're talking that way about a woman that you've been married to since 1956?
Don't get heavy-handed with me, Mr. Henry.
Well, I'm not. I'm going to say, are you saying that about a woman that you've been married to since 1956? She's Bob Barker's whore.
Well, what else am I supposed to...
How about support her and perhaps look into it, joining her on the trip and going with her? You may actually enjoy yourself.
So, in other words, you want me to sit there and look at her and Barker?
What? Go to the show and...
And then what? Wander down Hollywood Boulevard with every heroin addict?
I don't know the last time you're on Hollywood Boulevard, but thank you, Renee, very much for your call. They've made it very... It's very tourist... It's very family-friendly now, man. They've got the tourist... what do you call them? Souvenir stands. The people go to the, man's Chinese... And,
well, they've always done that.
Well, but the cops, it's like Times Square in New York now, man. It's safe. 877-876-PHIL. On the line here is Cynthia from Brooksville, Florida, listening to us on WWJB. Hi, Cynthia. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. I've worked with these type of people for many a year, and it's very difficult for the family to accept these changes. They do have companies that you can get companions that will come in. They take the men or the women out to lunch, or they just accompany them.
I'll bet they do.
Excuse me, sir.
Stud service? Is it a stud service?
Hold on for a minute. Let the lady talk. Cynthia,
I did this for years, and it was very gratifying, because you got the people to talk. You got them to trust you.
I don't know.
And you could and sometimes you could talk them out of where they really wanted to go and take them on a nice day trip. I used to pack a picnic lunch and take them to lunch. On a picnic.
Well, can I ask you a question, please? And I don't mean any offense, but I must know this. You obviously know I have to ask you. You didn't provide sex, did you?
Oh, my God.
Sir.
Did you? Well, ma'am, I don't know.
I was a retired nurse.
You're talking about a
I was a retired nurse.
There?
I wouldn't think of such a thing.
Mean anything?
Wanted
you with a man or a woman? Was it a man or a woman that you...
Let's just forget.
I took care of either. And sometimes I just stayed home with the person and watched a football game if that's what they were interested. We'd play chess or checkers.
But the question has to be asked. If they indicated to you that they were willing to pay for more, I have to ask this.
There are ways of answering it, sir.
What in the hell are you asking? The lady is talking about...
She wants me to send my wife off to Hollywood with that man. And the minute they hit the city limits, he's going to be all over her.
You've become obsessed with this idea. It's become an obsession with you. And
I'm worried.
And you have to, you're going to, if there comes a point where she starts going out when you're not home, you're going to have to put her someplace.
Well, she wants to go down to Hollywood to see the Bob Barker show. You know about Bob Barker, don't you?
I watched Bob Barker years ago.
Okay.
I also know he's not there. If you can't get that through your wife's head...
He's not on the show anymore. It's Drew Carey.
There are problems. She has a problem.
So you say.
She has a problem.
My feeling is that Bob Barker may still be somewhere lingering around the set.
I doubt that. The poor man can hardly walk.
Okay.
Do you think that Bob Barker's doing, hanging around the set to see if he can get lucky, even though he's not the host anymore? That guy is probably at home, chilling, you know.
Mr. Henry, I'm not one of your hippie, the chilling, we call it relaxing in my world, thank you.
Well,
we call it relaxing, sir. I'm not some hippie. Now, this nice lady, her name is Cynthia, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
You are a very, very kind woman for giving me the information because I'm worried sick. She's never disobeyed me. And when she would refuse to get my pipe, I had no choice. I had to push her through the screen door.
Wait a minute. You did what?
I pushed her through a screen door.
Back into a time of her life where she felt more independent. Baby didn't have to feel she needed to take orders from you.
Well, when she refused to get my pipe, I said to her, you know the screen door that we've been wanting to replace? She said, yes. I said, maybe today's the day. And I was making a joke, but I pushed her through the door.
You pushed her through the door.
Yes.
See, your fear is...
What a jackass.
Thanks a lot.
Your fear is causing you such anxiety
that you're getting violent, you know, right, Cynthia? All right, dear. Well, we have to go. Thank you very much for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Maurice, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Okay. Hey, Phil. This is Mark.
Yes, sir.
I think he's losing control. I think his wife is getting her independence back, and I think he's upset about that. Still, he's saying that she needs to talk to someone. I think he needs to go and have a long conversation with someone. That's what I think about that. I think he's losing control.
What do you mean I need to have a long conversation with someone? You'd almost think you'd think I'm nuts.
I think you need to go and have a conversation maybe with the psychiatrist because I think that you lost control and I think that you need to just let it go. I really do. I think you need help.
Sir, may I ask you a question? Are you saying I should have a conversation with a psychiatrist about my wife or are you saying I should have a conversation with a psychiatrist about me?
Well, that's just my opinion about it. I think that I think you're the one need help, and I think you need to sit down.
So you think I'm nuts?
I think you need to sit down and talk to your daughter about trying to get you some help because I really think you need help.
So now, did you just laugh, Mr. Henry?
Well, I thought that it was interesting what Maurice just said. He said basically we've come full circle here. It isn't your wife that needs to be talked about with your daughter; it's you.
So what you two guys are saying basically is that I need the help. I need a jacket, a straight jacket. Is that it?
Nobody said a straight jacket.
Feel like I've jumped off right here.
You know, I have lived almost 78 years, and I've never in my life had anyone look at me and say, in a soft room, or could we put him in the day room with other people?
All right, Mr. Bonafide, we've told you. I don't think anybody has said you need to be measured for a soft jacket or for a soft room or a straight jacket. But we are saying that there is some help that is required here if you think your wife is suffering from dementia because she wants to take a day trip with other senior citizens to see The Price is Right. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL's world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Too.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What did your wife do?
When we were on our way to Vegas, we were going to Las Vegas one night, and I'm sure you felt this. I think every man listening to me and every woman in many ways, and I said, I got a place of blackjack. No one's going to stop me from playing blackjack. I got to do it. And she told me, she said I was a gambling addict.
She said you were a gambling addict.
Yes, sir. And I said to her, you don't understand. I said, I'm going to go play some blackjack. And I'm stopping in Prim, Nevada. And I didn't wait till we got to Vegas. And for her to call me a gambling addict, because all I wanted to do, I had $100 burning a hole in my pocket. More like it was burning a hole in the ass part of where my wallet. I had about $5,000 I was going to gamble with in Vegas, but I allowed myself $100 for the slot machines. Big deal. She would.
Well, so what? I mean, so
she never insulted me like that. Never.
So she called you a gambling addict, and as a result, you feel it is Alzheimer's.
It is a form of dementia, sir, when a woman comes out of the blue and calls you a gambling addict.
Well, I don't know, Lloyd. I don't think you're a gambling addict, but I mean, if you can't wait for Vegas and you got to stop at Prim, Nevada, because you got $100 burning a hole in the ass end of your pants, as you put it. 877-876-PHIL. Martha in Madison, Tennessee, listening on WWTN. Martha, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi there.
Yes, ma'am.
The gentleman sounds very unhappy. And married.
Yes, ma'am. I'm frightened.
Yeah, you're very unhappy. And what you need to do is realize if she's got dementia, that you need to go with her and do things with her. But you can't, you can't argue with her or find fault with her, because people like that, it just upsets them that much more.
Wants to go to see The Price is Right. Then she wants to go and buy souvenirs for her grandson. I've never heard of her wanting to do anything like that before.
Well,
and then, listen to this. Then she said to me, can we take a drive to Mount Wilson to see the sights? Now, no, I've never heard her ask to do that.
Why does that mean she has dementia? Mount Wilson... You drive. It's snowing. Maybe she wants to see the snow.
Well, the thing
anyway,
of it,
I was talking. Yes,
the
ma'am.
Thing of it,
go ahead. I'd rather talk to the lady than you, Mr. Hendy, because all you want to do is call me an a-hole. Go ahead, ma'am.
Well, honey, you need to just have a good time. And if going with her to someplace you've never been, you probably would have a really good time.
I don't want to go to those places. I don't want to go to see The Price is Right. I don't want to go down to Hollywood Boulevard.
Well,
and I sure don't want to go to Mount Wilson.
Well,
and sit with all the other white trash.
Well, boy.
You're very judgmental.
Going with a group. Going with a group, she says.
Because I told
those
Price,
people plan things with a safety. I'm in a retirement community, and they plan things for us all the time. And I don't always want to go, but my friends will talk me into it, and I have a good time.
If you were told you shouldn't go, do you still disobey?
Who's she going to disobey?
Well, now listen, husband and wives are not bosses or, you don't own her. She is your partner, and
you can't
boss a partner around.
Are you from California?
No. I'm from
See, I don't think you understand the temptations of going to the... You know, this guy, Barker...
Will you get off of Bob Barker, man? He's not going to do anything to your wife.
Those group things are very healthy and very normal. And you know,
I'll bet they are. For Bob Barker, they are.
You need...
When he's got his big...
Bob Barker has retired.
Bob Barker?
Sir,
but can I tell you something, sir?
You're not talking to a sir. You're talking to a lady.
Barker gets his pick of the litter. His pick of the litter. And for people...
Well, all right, enough. 877-876-PHIL on to Kevin in Providence, Rhode Island, listening to us on WTKK. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Bonafide.
Yeah.
Yeah, calm down, sir. You gotta support your wife, no? You said you're 78 years old, you're married for quite a while.
She's gonna support me. She's gonna support me.
Well,
don't you hear too good? That's what I've been talking about.
She's going on a harmless day trip. I've worked with seniors, and I've done some of these things, volunteer, and it's totally harmless. I think that,
really?
You know,
have you, where have you taken them to?
Well,
where have you taken them to?
All over the place. Apple orchards, diners.
Oh, apple orchard. They're not going to an apple orchard. She's going down to where Bob Barker used to work.
What'd you
where
say?
Bob Barker. Hey, I'll tell you what it is. Yeah, what's my problem with him? How would you like it if you walked in and saw Bob Barker trying to climb on board? Forget it.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
He started throwing things.
He threw a lamp.
He threw a lamp. That was the first thing.
The Christmas Day bomber. RTSA personnel.
I've been waiting months, years for it to come.
I wish you well.
I likened it to being late.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Where we take you through the looking glass and beyond and go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, man. This is where all the chump change stops and where the entertainment begins. I think that's laying it on a little thick. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, and of course our online presence is philhendryshow.com, where you can go and get live streaming video of our show right now, as well as live streaming audio of our show, as well as all of our archives, thousands of hours of archived classic Phil Hendry Show material, and we have classic Phil podcasts, and we have our daily podcasts. Now the classic Phils are free, and they are available on our website, and we just put a new one up today. Entitled, Bin Laden's Gonna Kick Your Ass. Maybe we'll roll it out for you on the show here next hour. What do you think? I think we will. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We're gonna get on Art Griego here and talk a little bit about the TSA situation vis-a-vis the pat-downs. And as you probably know, this has become quite the controversy. The TSA has decided that there's going to be pat-downs and there's going to be body scans, and that's just kind of the way it's going to be. And Art is a former commercial pilot who's been involved in, you know, commercial flying. And I guess this week, Art, they said that the pilots don't have to go through it.
Well, that makes sense. You've got aircraft that have got to get off the ground. You've got... schedules to meet, and I don't know if you are aware of this, but the FAA keeps track of all of the hours delayed on the ground every year, and so it can add up, and that's money. Now, what we are trying to do, and what the TSA is trying to do, and I understand they're doing a very good job, Phil, is keep Americans safe from terrorists. And I think they are representing themselves very, very well.
Well, you know that they have been the targets of some incredible controversy about these pat-downs. And not to mention the body scans. People are afraid of the excessive, I don't know, radiation.
Well, look, let's talk about, first of all, the good job they're doing. They're doing a great job
Americans have been safe flying since 9/11 thanks to the TSA and thanks certainly to the added work that has been done by the security infrastructure of the country and also by the TSA. But the people who represent the Transportation Safety Administration, I know what the criticism has been, and I think it's criticism that simply looks to unfairly target the TSA.
Well, the criticism is that their body scans, their pat downs are invasive. They don't want to do the body scans because of the alleged radiation, whatever that is. I don't know. And I know one thing, that when something new is introduced in this country, the initial information on that new thing is generally wrong.
You said a mouthful there, Phil.
But that's what I'm talking about with the body scans. Now, let's talk about the pat-downs. You're saying that the pat-downs are being done well. The president here, the White House, said on Monday that defended the use of body scanners and aggressive pat-downs to screen air travelers as necessary against current terror threats. Yet even as it stood by the new policies, White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs said the Obama administration constantly is reevaluating security techniques, saying that they have to evolve. So what is it?
Well, look, my stand is, and I think every pilot's stand and anyone who's involved in securing the skies of America, is that the TSA is doing a great job in the face of great adversity.
What adversity?
Well, the adversity is that they are being accused of these invasive pat-downs. The fact is, if you talk to the TSA, and I don't think any of these passengers ever really have, these TSA people, they don't like doing these pat-downs any more than people like having them done. There seems to be a thought process among travelers that the TSA doing these pat-downs is they want to be invasive. I have talked to members of the TSA who do the pat-downs, and they are quite frankly repelled by them. They don't like doing them. They don't like putting their hands, and they have to. These are procedures that they have to follow, and yet they are forced to put their hands on people's bodies. That they are, what's the word? They're revolted by it.
And so the TSA in doing the pat-downs are revolted.
They are revolted by having to touch some of these people. When you say some of these people, you know, about 99% of the human race, Playboy models, they're not. You know, Chippendales dancers, they're not. So these poor kids and young people who work for the TSA would much rather people go through the scanners, even though that is also technically harassment.
And what do you mean harassment? See, what people have said is that the pat downs are passengers are saying that the pat downs are harassment.
No, the pat downs are harassment against the TSA, and let me explain why. Human beings that are going through these pat-down procedures and these scanner procedures know full well that they are not the best-looking people in the world. They know that they're not the most attractive. They know that they are not the most pleasant to look at. And yet, that's what they—that's the condition they keep themselves in, knowing full well they're going to be going through a pat-down that a TSA agent is going to have to endure. And if it isn't that, it's a body scan. And then the TSA agents are forced to look at these individuals in an X-ray kind of an image, looking at their bodies, in which is revolting as well. I don't think anybody has stopped to consider the assault on TSA agents. The media focuses on the passengers, but we're talking about thousands and thousands of TSA agents who are victimized here, far worse. And I will tell you this, Phil.
Well, I haven't. That's a new point of view.
Well, no, it isn't a new point. If you talk to a TSA agent, you understand. Yeah, but most people only think about themselves. And when we're talking about air traffic, air travelers, I've dealt with them my whole career. God bless them. We love our customers, but let's face it, they know it as well as I do. there's only one thing they think about, and that's themselves. They don't care if the pilot's sick. They don't care if the flight attendant is feeling well that day. They don't care about the TSA agent. They sure don't care about him or her. And they will go ahead and put themselves into a security line with bodies that are disgusting, okay, with naked, are no, this isn't any bargain to look at them. And that's what a TSA, one after the other, all day long.
I have not heard any TSA agents complaining about this.
You want to know why?
Why?
Because they're professionals. Because they know that this is what has to be done. And they also know something else. You know, in many cases, passengers are choosing to get a pat-down because they know the TSA agent hates it. And they passengers have long had a problem with the TSA. And they have long wanted to get back at the TSA for delaying their air travel. And how better to get back at them than to this National Opt-Out Day?
Well, all right, now hold on. National Opt-Out Day is to force the pat-downs to show how time-consuming and how invasive they are.
No, it's to force the TSA agents to endure patting down one after the other of these very unpleasant-looking and unpleasant-looking and unpleasant-feeling and unpleasant-smelling passengers, one after the other, these poor young flight attendants, these poor young TSA agents, have got to touch some, you can well imagine, Phil. And the whole reason for the opt-out day is to humiliate and get revenge on TSA agents. It's got nothing to do with passengers angry over the policies.
The National Opt-Out Day is a day in which people have said, we're gonna opt out of getting a body scan, we're going to go for pat-downs because we want to show how invasive it is.
No, that's what they're telling the press, but I am telling you that, of course they're telling the press that, they want to be seen as victims, when in point of fact, they're going to get back at the TSA agents by making them touch their disgusting bodies. I don't know how they do it.
I've never heard that.
I don't know how any TSA agent goes one after the other of having to pat down and put your hand and pat and touch these fat, or perhaps they have scabs on their skin. Oh God.
All right, 877-876-PHIL here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. The body scanners and the pat-downs, which is it? In the one case, the body scanner is radiation. In the other case, or in the minds of some people, it's excessive. In the other case, it is the what they think is the invasive touching of TSA agents. Art Griego on the line with us telling us that it is equally abhorrent and revolting, if not more so, for the TSA agent to have to touch one after the other of passengers who have these revolting fat bodies and God knows what other maladies. And it sounded a little dramatic there, Art.
What did?
Well, the whole, you know, skin scab thing.
Well, I don't know. But if you were having to put your hands on someone over and over again, and then you're touching somebody who's got a smallpox, or...
Well, how likely is that?
Phil, how likely was it that someone was going to fly a plane into a building? How likely was that? And now you're forcing a TSA agent to pat down and touch the skin of someone who's got scabies or ringworm, and the passengers are complaining? Genital warts?
Well, they're not getting their hands in there.
They have to check for explosives. I think the TSA agents are being put at risk, and I think it's the passengers that owe them an apology.
Well, I don't know whether or not the beef that passengers have is with the particular TSA agent. It's with the TSA, but you're saying, I guess, it's the TSA agent who's getting punished. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. What about that other side of the argument? What about the fact that while passengers may consider the pat-down to be invasive, it is the TSA agent that is suffering, having to touch, put their hands on, and otherwise pat down people who are not the most attractive, who may be, in point of fact, revolting, who might be with every kind of skin disease, or looking at body scans of fat, unappealing, disgusting passengers. That is the point of view here of Art Griego, and he says of a lot of TSA agents. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And we're on here with Art Griego, a former commercial pilot, and Art is now a retired commercial pilot, but nonetheless, he's a guy who is, you know, who knows the ins and the outs of the airline industry. Today, it was the president reacting and Robert Gibb, who is the press secretary, reacting to the so-called aggressive pat-downs of the TSA over the weekend. At a NATO summit speech, Obama defended the new security techniques.
In the aftermath of the Christmas Day bombing, our TSA personnel are properly under enormous pressure to make sure that you don't have somebody slipping on a plane with some sort of explosive device on their persons. And since the explosive device that was on Mr. Abdulmutallab was not detected by ordinary metal detectors, it has meant that TSA has had to try to adapt to make sure that passengers on planes are safe.
Bart?
Well, I mean, he's right. The president is absolutely right. And to complain about the pat-down procedures as being invasive is, first of all, I don't think to be very, to be honest with you, Phil, I don't think it's patriotic. But secondly, it is selfish because it doesn't take into consideration the feelings of the TSA agents who have to perform the pat-down. See, everyone thinks that it's an absolute pleasure for someone to pat them down. I can tell you, having formerly been in security, it's not. Especially if you're patting down some hag. Or,
well, let's not go characterizing people, you know.
Well, I'm telling you, if you're going to pat somebody down, if it is something that is required, if you do that kind of security job, I remember thinking I would appreciate it if I could pat down. And again, you have to be very careful how you read what I'm about to say, because I was very professional.
Well, what kind of security did you do?
Well, I used to do security for smaller airports. I had my own security company. We did air security as well as chartering my aircraft after I retired. And you do pat-downs. And you have to understand what I'm about to say. I'm not saying that I only picked people who were appealing to look at to pat down. I am simply saying that you felt good and you felt lucky and you felt blessed, and you could put it any way you want, when you were able to pat down someone. And if, you know, in my case, yes, it's going to be a woman. It's not, I'm not gay. I don't have anything against gays, but I felt that I was blessed to be able to pat down a woman who was, how would you say this, put together.
All right, well, okay, I don't know why you brought that up.
I'm bringing it up to tell you that as anyone who has to frisk or pat someone down for a living, all right, I'm trying to tell you, if you listen to me, please, because I find that people are not smart enough. And
I'm listening to you.
All right. You'd be surprised at how many people are just, they just don't get this. In order for me to enjoy my job as a security agent for TSA, it is not going to be helpful for me to have to pat down individuals with excess body fat so that when I do try to put my hand into the crotch area, I have to negotiate fat and folds of fat.
Oh, God.
Yes, yes, exactly. Or someone that is so thin that you are feeling bone and any subcutaneous tumors they may have, and the odor that is on your hand after two frisks. That's all it takes, two pat-downs, and you have hands that smell almost as if you had just shoved them in, on purpose into steer manure.
Yeah. Oh, God almighty.
Right. Now, where does anyone get the idea that that's something the TSA gets their kicks doing? And so I think the president was absolutely right. But there's a great disservice going to be done on Wednesday, Phil.
Let's talk about this National Opt-Out Day. These are people that are going to, on purpose, opt out of the body scan.
Can I say something about the body scan?
Well, hold on. There are people that, yes, you can, but I want to, they're going to purposefully opt out of the body scan and go and get a pat-down to, I guess, show that this is invasive and everyone's going to complain.
Yeah, and the TSA will complain. The TSA agents will say at the end of that day, I don't know how many people will have are quitting, that was a day in which it was probably the most nauseating day that they ever spent. Now, can I say something about body scans?
Go ahead.
The same difference with body scans. When you are a TSA agent and you're forced to look at bodies passing through a scanner that you can see through the imaging on the scanner, the body form of these individuals, and it can be a very traumatic, jarring, and damaging, injurious experience psychologically.
And what, looking at what? People, I don't know what you see with a scanner.
Well, you see the physical body outline. You see the person naked. But it can be extremely injurious. It can be extremely, I don't know how to put it, it's traumatic. And so they think that that's some kind of a great shake. So everybody thinks the TSA is getting a break, and they're not.
All right, joining us is Art Griego as we talk here on the Phil Hendry Show about these TSA procedures.
And one more thing, though. We have a hard time holding on to quality TSA agents, and the National Opt-Out Day is going to cause us to lose a lot of them.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Are you planning, any of you guys listening, planning on this national opt-out? Are you going to not get a scan? Are you going to go for the pat-down? I personally think that it's going to be a bust. I don't think people are going to be participating because I don't think anyone wants to stand there and hold up the passengers behind them to make some political point that their local talk show host told them to make. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We got Art Griego on the line with us as we talk about these pat-down procedures that have garnered so much disdain among air travelers. Now, there were two procedures. One is the scan, and one is pat-down. One is more than just a metal detector. This is an X-ray machine, right?
Yeah, well, it's a body scanner.
Okay, and people have issues with that.
Right, and the TSA has issues with it.
No, you're not saying that officially the TSA has issues.
No, I'm saying that for TSA agents, the TSA is not going to come out and officially make any claims because the TSA is going to stand by, its professional point of view, which is this is necessary. But the TSA agents find it revolting to have to look at all of these slobs. I say slob. Let me just use the language that they've used with me in the different interviews that I've done.
And well, you're doing interviews how?
I'm doing informal Q&As with TSA agents. And they have said to me that looking at a scanner with these slobs, as they put it, is enough to make you want to throw up. They say that having to do pat-downs of some of these I'm reading from notes, scarecrows, pigs, hogs, they use all of these beasts, is enough to make you want to throw up. And so they don't want to do the pat-downs any more than the people like them. Now, the problem we've got here, Phil, is that this is a revenge act that has nothing to do with being patted down. And
in what way? You mentioned earlier in the show that the public, the people that are going to be involved in this national opt-out, or whoever, you know.
I agree with you. I don't know how many people are going to do this national opt-out. But I'm telling you, the public, this is revenge for something that's a lot more.
All right, well, you were saying at the beginning of the show that the public has never liked the TSA.
No, they never have. They blame the TSA for their perfume getting thrown away, for their lighter bedding getting taken away. They blame the TSA for perhaps lost air hours in travel because of the enhanced security. They blame the TSA for having to take their shoes off. They blame the TSA for all of these things. And when the pat-downs came along, this was finally the opening that most of the people in the air travel community saw, that they could go and complain that they're being sexually harassed. And there is nothing more explosive than calling someone a pervert, calling somebody a molester, telling somebody, that they got their freak is getting a job at the TSA and then sticking your hand up there, you know what. This revenge by the American passenger is going to hurt our national security because a lot of great TSA agents, Phil, are going to quit. Do we want another 9/11? How about you stop hating the TSA and perhaps lose a little weight, take a shower?
All right. Well, you're claiming now, and this is a complete reversal of anything that I've ever heard, that the TSA is in point of fact the victim and that the public smells and they are too fat and they've decided to, inflict their ugly bodies on the TSA, you know.
Well, you're laughing, Phil.
Well, let me ask you something. I believe you when you say that the TSA, people don't like the TSA. They're there, and so they're the ones that you're going to dislike.
No, but hold on. Let me ask you a question. How do you grab someone? How do you give somebody a pat down when they weigh 400 pounds or they smell like a barnyard? How do you do that? How do you even go near someone like that? And then you've got to look at it on a body scanner. So this is...
Yeah, but you're saying that this was a completely, orchestrated move.
It's not orchestrated.
But you're saying that the public has had it in for years for the TSA, and now they finally, you use the word, now they've seen their opening.
Well, I think there becomes a zeitgeist of some kind. I think what happens is people, in an unconscious way, bring together their line of thinking on something, and they say, independent of each other, now I see my opening. I've been looking and looking and biding my time. How do I get back at this guy that has made me take my shoes off? How do I do it? I've been biding my time. Now I see my opening. Okay? I can opt out, and I can make him touch my fat ass.
Okay, I find that really hard to believe, man.
What does that mean, you find it hard? I find that hard to believe you make that statement.
I find it hard to believe. You waiting, looking for his opening?
Yes. Have you ever played football?
Yes, I played football.
All right, what does a running back do when he hits the line? He's looking for the...
No, but I'm not talking about...
I'm telling you that the average American passenger, like a running back hitting the line on a rushing play, is looking for that, where is it? Where's the block? Here it is. Bang. And you remember what they used to say about Walter Payton or Gale Sayers? I forget. 6 inches of daylight. 6 inches of daylight. Give me 6 inches of daylight, I'm through. And that's what the average passenger was looking for. He found it. The pat down, and now he can make this TSA agent put his hands right up a guy's, excuse me for saying it, Phil, because this is what's going on, right up the crack of his rear end. And he has to do it, and the passenger thinks it's funny. And then he can turn around and say, I was sexually harassed. The guy tried to, do it to me.
877-876-PHIL. I've never heard of, I just don't think, you may say it's unconscious, but I just don't think it comes together quite like that. 877-876-PHIL. Here is John in Greensboro, North Carolina. John, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Art Griego. Go ahead, please.
My only concern is that, these TFA agents, I don't see why we have to tiptoe around what they want. It's a job. You wake up every morning and you know what you have to do. It's a security job. You're out there to help, you know, America be safe. And I don't see what the problem is with, if you're going to pat down people or if you have to look at, you know, overweight people through a scanner, it's a part of what you do. You don't sign up for anything else. You don't sign up for, to pat down beautiful women. You sign up for...
Right. It's a hope that you have. I can tell the gentleman, you know, like when I was doing security, you hoped, you might even, on a bad night, you might even be praying that when it comes to having to detain somebody and pat them down, you hope you got Dolly Parton, you know. That's always the hope, but that's not the reality. The reality is that it's disgusting, and I just wish more air passengers recognize that. Are you do you fly frequently, sir?
Yes, I do. I actually fly internationally.
Well, it is a vile and foul job to have to. I'm not saying you, but I mean, it's just disgusting to have to touch these passengers, and then they think the TSA's getting their kicks touching a guy's. You know what? I don't think so.
Well, then where is the problem? You know, is it America as a people are way too overweight? Or is it TSA agents that aren't getting paid enough to actually pat down some of these people? You know, the problem doesn't lie whether the security is good or bad. It relies on what you know people want to do in this in this day and age. We're tiptoeing around this. No,
well,
you wake up
TSA,
to do your job.
You're right, but I do believe the TSA agents need far more money than they're getting to do what they are forced to do, which is. Risk disease by, you know, having to put their hand... If you're putting your hand down... Excuse me for saying...
But you can't wear rubber gloves?
Yes, you can. Yes, you do. And of course you do. But if you still, you're putting your hand down the back of a woman's pants, which you may think is pleasurable, not if she's got ringworm. And,
oh, God. All right. This is graphic.
My thing is, you know how many unemployed Americans are in this country, and you're going to complain about this? No, there's so many people out there right now that would love to have this job, that would say, you know what, I would give it my all. And I wouldn't care
there was
what
a story
I had
today.
As long as I had the money to feed my family.
Yeah, you may have the money to feed your family, but guess what? You can't. There's not enough lava soap made to get the ringworm off of your hand that you just picked up.
All right, we understand that. Now, the story today that Art was going to mention, and John, I thank you very much for your call, 877-876-PHIL. The story today about a man whose urostomy bag was torn open by a TSA agent during a pat-down, humiliating the passenger. Oh, my God. Is that true?
I don't know. It sounds very phony. And
that is unbelievable. And the urine, apparently...
I'll tell you what it was. In my opinion, it was a passenger with a phony bag of urine that he smuggled on, and he wanted that TSA agent to break it open and douse somebody with that urine so the TSA agent would look like an ass. And that's exactly what happened.
That is about as funky a story as I've ever heard, man.
Oh, it's funky. It's completely funky. But if you're going to tell me that guy really has a need for that bag...
But my understanding is this gentleman is a cancer survivor. As a matter of fact, I have the story, yes. He's a cancer survivor, and apparently he had bladder cancer, and so this poor man had to have this bag. I was absolutely humiliated, said Thomas D. Tom Sawyer of Lansing, Michigan.
Tom Sawyer. Is that right? Was Huckleberry Finn, did he have a colostomy bag?
Well, so what are you telling me? It's made up?
Tom Sawyer? Come on!
The story is on MSNBC.
What does that tell you?
Hold on for a minute. Mr. Sawyer is a bladder cancer survivor who now wears a urostomy bag, which collects his urine from a stoma or opening in his abdomen. I have to wear special clothes. Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, this is phony baloney from the beginning to the end. Tom Sawyer. Yeah, Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn today were, stopped at what airport? Lansing International Airport, and Huckleberry Finn's colostomy bag spread.
Well, I think you're being cynical, and I think we have to take this at face value. And this is not the only place I heard it.
Hey, Phil, I got one for you. You know, it's costing $200 million a day for Obama to go to India. Did you hear about that? Spread the word.
I don't think.
No, it's got $200 million a day. Spread the word.
All right, we'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL. I'm on the line here with Art Griego as we talk about the TSA, the pat-down procedures that have left a lot of people upset, but he says is also leaving the TSA upset, the TSA agents, because it is, quote, disgusting to have to frisk some of these people. And we'll get to the bottom of this poor man's urostomy bag episode. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, as we talk here with Art Griego about the TSA pat-downs, which have been widely criticized by passengers, defended by the president, sort of halfway defended by Robert Gibbs, which I thought was very interesting. Well, not really, but he said he was going to their reviewing.
Well, they're reviewing. You know, I don't think the president should back off. I think they should continue to do the pat-downs, and I think they should continue to do the body scans, but I don't for a minute believe. Have you ever frisked I don't think you have, Phil, but ask anyone that has frisked a super morbidly obese computer programmer from San Francisco, because I have. I had to frisk a computer programmer from San Francisco, the sight and the smell you will never forget. And I've heard police say that when you first smell a dead body, you never forget it. And I don't mean to be humorous, but I can tell you, when you frisk a morbidly obese computer programmer from San Francisco, you will never forget it as long as you live. And it will haunt you.
Okay, are you being dramatic here, man? You know,
I'm being dramatic because it is dramatic.
But she's basically saying is the TSA's got the harder lot in life, not the passengers, the TSA. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Luana in Nashville. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Luana, go ahead, please.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say, first of all, I am a pilot, private pilot, and I'm
flight
attendant with an airline.
Oh,
I
great,
go through security pretty much daily with commuting as well. And first of all, my understanding of the pat-downs, when the pat-downs first started, it was supposed to be under someone that you thought as a suspect who was doing unusual behaviors or basically use your training, and even though you can't call it profiling, you know, we all know that's what it is. And it's not supposed to be for three-year-old kids or things like that. I just think it's been taken too far, and that's what the American public or the public seems to be upset with. It doesn't make sense what they're doing.
Well, we can't profile people, Luana. You don't want to profile people, so you got to do it with everybody. Otherwise, if you only do it with certain people, then they're going to say, well, why are you doing it just with me and not that guy over there, see? So everybody has got to do it, and that means the TSA has to endure all of humanity in all of their various states of hygiene, and it's not pretty.
We all have to deal with that. The person sitting next to the person,
I beg to differ. You don't have to put your hand up the, you know what? You're a flight attendant, so you're ensuring the safety of the passengers, and whatever their needs may be that you can safely meet, you will do. You don't have to stick your hand in there, and I want to be a gentleman.
All right, we understand. Go ahead, Luana.
Well, I date a federal air marshal, told me about a flight just 2 days ago. A gentleman walked out of the bathroom on our flight. The whole, like, four rows that heard this. The man walked out of the bathroom, put his coat on the floor, proceeded to take his shoes off, put his shoes down. The flight attendant looked at him, and he told her that he basically did number two in his pants, and he left his underwear on the floor. No lie. Okay.
What? Now, wait a minute. Was he mentally deranged? Luana, this is
no,
Phil Henry.
No,
was this man mentally deranged?
Being with him. I mean, he said, I was ready for it to be an older man, or no, this man was completely, not barely middle-aged, he said. This is a crew member, a friend of mine.
Well, okay, but I understand that. But the man that did this, I want to find out, was he mentally disturbed? Was he mentally disturbed?
No, he was.
Well, you'd have to be.
Well,
you wouldn't.
I mean, he wasn't. I mean, no. He was finally
Hold
dead.
On, Art, will you please?
I can't. That does it. That does. Yeah. You know what I would do? I would go to a safe altitude and I'd throw him out of the aircraft. I honestly would. And then I'd turn myself into the police when we land. I would turn myself in to the... Can you believe... Wouldn't you, Luana? I would ask the... Please, look, get down to a safe altitude, oxygen, so we're not on oxygen. Open up a door and throw him out and make sure the last thing he heard was me laughing.
But who would take the underwear off the floor?
Oh, God. That is the most...
The crew member to pick up. And she said no. Gave him a bag and said they're yours. And he said, well, I want to throw them away. And she said, then you throw them away. But back to the pat-downs, our understanding was when the pat-downs started, they were with someone that's acting weird or strange.
Right, suspicious person. Right, I understand. And it seems that now with this one-year anniversary of the underwear bomber coming up, and I thank you very much, Luana, you know, people are nervous. TSA's nervous. Our air security's nervous. The president's nervous. It doesn't seem like passengers are, though. That's the interesting thing. Here is Phil in New York on WWRL. Phil, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Passengers are not nervous. You're right.
Yes, sir. I can hear you.
Oh, all right. Listen, I was just trying to... My point is basically it just seems like this gentleman that you have on seems to be trying to debunk a lot of the American people's feelings as far as these machines go. These machines produce radiation, as everybody knows, which gets into people's bodies and does not disperse very easily. People do not want to be... It's also another version of invasion of privacy. It's not very fair to do to people. And this gentleman's taking it to a step. I understand where he's coming from as far as he doesn't enjoy his job, but listen.
No, I wouldn't.
If you don't enjoy your job, you quit.
I don't want to pat you down any more than you want to be patted down. You think I get my kicks doing that? And a TSA agent, you say, I was sexually harassed by a TSA agent. He would probably rather shoot himself than have to frisk you.
All right, easy. Yes, Phil.
You're the gentleman that keeps talking about enjoying it. I didn't say anything about you enjoying it. If you don't enjoy your job, you quit and get another one. It's very simple. I don't work in your house because I don't
want... I have to do my... You told me you don't want me patting you down, but you're telling me to quit my job if I don't pat you down?
All I'm saying is that you're talking about the opt-out. The opt-out is people don't want to use the machine.
What?
They want to get rid of the machine.
What?
And you keep
will you
talking
stop,
about
Art?
It's all about you. Excuse me?
Well, I can tell you, I you're right, and yet you're wrong. That's the part that I can't... What part of what you just said do I disagree with? You're right about the fact that I should quit. You're wrong about the fact that I should quit. There.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
News Hour next with Robert and Bud. What an idiot. Phil.
I'm an idiot.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I've been waiting months, years for it to come.
I'd like to see even more men and more women.
In the aftermath of the Christmas Day bombing.
He started throwing things.
He threw a lamp.
I have met before from behind.
That makes sense.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where through the looking glass we go and beyond. This is where the chumps get off. We go places other talk shows cannot go. We do it every night. And we've been doing it every night just about for the last 20 years. Middle-aged Americans are not happy with their sex lives. Well, what else is new? Middle-aged Americans are not happy with their sex lives. I'll tell you what's wrong, and you will probably not like me when I tell you what's wrong. I don't want you not to like me.
Well, what's wrong?
I'll tell them in a moment. Kids say their principal busted into their house unannounced to see if they were really homesick. Plus, the Dancing with the Stars finale is tomorrow. Will Bristol Palin win? If she does, will people be even more outraged? And why is this a story? Why is this a political story? That's the one that's really got people going. This is a political story? You got to be high. You got to be smoking something super, man. Something that ain't grown here. For this to be a political story. 877-876-PHIL. By the way, I watched the Sarah Palin Alaska show, and it was boring.
You don't like Palin, though.
No, that's got nothing. No, what do you mean I don't like Palin? I don't like her politics. It's got nothing to do with whether I like her or not. Nothing to do at all.
Yeah, but you said you probably wasn't going to like it.
I didn't say any such thing. I probably wasn't going to like it. I didn't like this. It bored me to tears. What do you want me to tell you, man? Okay? Let me tell you about reality shows. I've said it a million times. Of course, I could say it till I'm blue in the face, the cows come home, and I die. All of those eventualities, and people still ain't going to get it, just like we've been saying junk for 12 years. But some guy says it when he gets it touched at the airport, and suddenly he's on the Jay Leno show. What's that about? Anyway, I forget what I was going to say. All right, what was I going to say?
I don't know.
All right, the Dancing with the Stars, the makers of Dancing with the Stars ran through regular rehearsals on Sunday for the week's finale, even as controversy centered on contestant Bristol Palin and mystery surrounded an envelope received by the popular show. Yes, Palin, daughter of Tea Party favorite and former Alaska Republican Governor Sarah Palin, has made it to the finals of the top-rated U.S. TV program despite a season of low scores, raising the ire of many of the program's loyal fans. Oh, goodness gracious. You kidding me?
Man, there are a lot of people watch that show. How come somebody who don't dance good, you know, keep going?
Because people dig her, man. What do you want me to say?
Yeah, but she dances like she's got muscular dystrophies. She can't dance.
Shut up about that. If you don't even know how to pronounce the disease, don't say it, okay?
What?
Muscular dystrophies.
Well, but yeah, she does. She does, man. She dances like Joe Cocker.
She dances like Joe Cocker.
Yeah.
No, she does not. I ain't even seen her dance. I can tell you she doesn't dance like Joe Cocker.
How can you make a statement like that if you've not even seen it?
Because I just know how much you guys exaggerate, and I also know how blind you guys are, and I know how, more to the point, how prejudiced you are, so I don't believe it. If you tell me she dances like Joe Cocker, then she probably dances like Juliet Prowse.
Is she crippled too?
Juliet Prowse crippled? No, I don't think so, man.
Well, what is she?
She's a dancer. She was one of the greatest dancers ever. In fact, when I was 10 years old, I had it bad for Juliet Prowse.
What? What are you talking about, man?
I don't want to get into it.
Oh, what's the matter, man? Your little heart get broken by some TV slut?
Shut up. Don't talk that way about Juliet Prowse, man.
What's wrong with you, man?
Nothing. I'm kidding, okay?
Well, did she exist?
Yes, she exists. Juliet Prowse existed. You can look her up. Go to YouTube. She had legs from here to wherever. She was gorgeous. I was 10. I wanted her. It wasn't going to happen. I knew that. I knew mother, father, Mater Potter would not approve. I didn't have enough money to get us going, to get us started.
You're weird, man.
What's weird about a 10-year-old kid having the hots for some hot-looking chick on TV? You're weird. Anyway, one Wisconsin man was so angered by Palin's advancement last week. Yeah, I know. He fired a shot into his TV set. Well, boy, you guys at ABC, you're really... Because I know what these guys are about. They don't like her. They think they're serious about this. What do you care? Well, it's all propaganda, see? Because if they keep pushing Bristol Palin, and they keep pushing Sarah Palin with that TV show, next thing you know, she's going to be president. No, she is not going to be president.
Yeah, man, but you remember you picked Giuliani and Clinton.
I know I picked Giuliani and Clinton. I know that. And I know the mistake that I made, too. The mistake that I made... was, I don't know what mistake I made.
Yeah, and you could make the same mistake with this one.
No, I'll tell you what mistake I made. That, you know, Obama took everybody by surprise. Unless somebody comes, Palin ain't the surprise. I'm telling you right now, somebody's going to win. If an Obama miracle's going to repeat itself, it ain't going to be Palin. Everybody knows who she is. Have to be somebody else, some other, you know,
some other black guy,
some other black guy. No, not some other. I don't know who. Some other black guy. Anyway, police and fire officials determined it was talcum powder. Oh, here it is. One Wisconsin man was so angered by Palin's advancement that he fired his TV with a shotgun, fueling a 15-hour standoff with police. Late on Friday, the program's producers received an envelope containing a white substance that set off warning bells of an anthrax scare, and it turned out to be talcum powder. Several media reports citing unidentified sources said the envelope was addressed to Palin, but officials at the ABC television network, which airs the program, seen by nearly 20 million viewers weekly, issued a statement saying it was delivered to the show's production office. Measures were taken to secure the area and ensure the safety of personnel. Ultimately, we are advised by the Los Angeles Fire Department that the substance was determined to be talcum powder.
What's that?
Talcum powder is what they use. It's like baby powder, man, but adults use it, you know. Dry off. They used to use a lot. I don't know if they use it anymore. A network spokeswoman had no comment beyond a statement. Dancing with Stars Pit celebrity, blah, 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 blah. Now, the... Oh, by the way, as the field narrowed to three, Palin movie star Jennifer Grey and TV actor Kyle Massey, critics charged that the 20-year-old Palin benefited from her mother's popularity because her scores had routinely fallen behind others, such as singer Brandy, who was kicked off the show last week. Producers have defended the voting, and Palin has hit back at critics, attributing her success to hard work. Yeah, people like the underdog. They, you know, what are you going to say? Now everyone's going to say, well, it was fixed, but this is the ABC television network. This is no friend of Sarah Palin. And if she did not make it, then everyone would say that it was cool because she's a retard and they don't dig her. I'm just using the word in the colloquial sense. And she, and thank God. But now that she is making it, it's got to be fixed. All right. So, and finally, many contestants over the years, including talk show host Jerry Springer and actress Cloris Leachman, have seen fan voting keep them in the competition when their feet seem to fail. Dancing completed its season with a performance show on Monday with the final episode to air Tuesday when a winner is named. So there you go, man. Sarah, whatever the hell her name is, Bristol Palin.
I don't know. I don't think that she's good, and I think it's fixed.
And you think it's fixed how? Let me guess. The Palin family are buying the ABC television network.
Yeah, that's what I think. They got a mysterious envelope that said...
Yeah, it had the talcum powder in it.
Well, was that the mysterious envelope?
Yeah, that was the mysterious envelope. What, did you think there was money?
I think there's another envelope somewhere.
What, you know, I don't understand you guys. Why do you think that it's being bought?
Man, think about it, man. She can't dance. All right. If she didn't work, the most white people dance. That's number one. Number two.
You're being racist.
Shut up and let him finish, will you?
Number two, her mama running for president of the United States. And they want to keep the ratings up on that show. Everybody knows they fix them game shows. That's no secret. They fix a game show, make sure people... Are you trying to tell me, you know, they're going to kick her off the show and have low rating?
No, I understand what you're saying. I totally understand. And I don't disagree with that.
Aha! So you do agree that...
You shut up with aha!
I didn't say aha! I said aha!
Listen to me. What Robert's saying is true. It is true that it's an entertainment product. You don't have to be fair. You don't have to even do it by the rules. What you have to do is to have a high-rated show. That's what you have to do. That's what you have to do. Now, baseball, football, basketball, all of those things are run according to rules. And for whatever reason, it's against the law to fix those particular games. I don't know that it's necessarily against the law to fix these game shows, and that's what this is. These people want ratings. And if kicking her off of the show means the ratings are going to go down, where you guys are wrong, man, is thinking they're keeping her on the show because of the political influence of her mother. No, that's not it at all. They're keeping her on the show not because a bunch of hayseeds are voting for her. They're keeping her on the show because they're looking at the numbers, Jack, and the numbers are up because of her. Ain't you never seen Quiz Show?
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day.
What's that?
That was a movie that Robert Redford made about it and everything. And what they did was They kept the guy on a quiz show when a guy, or they gave him answers and everything, right?
Yeah, they kept the guy on a quiz show in the 50s named Charles Van Doren by giving him the answers. Why were they giving him the answers? Because they realized the guy was a hit. People loved to see him.
Yeah, but I heard about that, and they had a, what do you call it, an investigating committee or something.
Well, yeah, they had a committee, and they looked into the quiz show scandals and all of that. And, you know, they made this big stink, and I don't really know what legislation came out of it, but I will tell you this. There's no way in hell, man, that ABC's Dancing with the Stars or NBC or Fox or any network in the world is going to take a really good rating and trifle with it. And if Bristol Palin is pulling huge numbers for them, and it's very, very possible, in fact, I think it's probable, for whatever reason, they like the story, and they think she dances like crap, and then they say, well, why don't you vote? Why do you think they have people voting?
Because they want to know what people think.
No. So they've got an alternative to the judges. See, if they have to rely just on the judges, they're sunk. Because if the judges say Bristol Palin sucks, ABC's got to kick her ass off, and maybe she's pulling good ratings. You think they want to pull this chick off the show when they're kicking ass with the ratings?
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah. So when they have the voting, that means they can say, well, that's something they can manipulate and say, she's got big numbers. How are we going to get around the fact they don't like her? I know. Bang, we'll have the audience numbers. It ain't Palin that's manipulating the numbers. It's ABC. Because they're getting a good number of viewers, which means advertising dollars, which means money. You understand money?
Yeah, I guess. This don't seem like it's fair.
Oh, will you knock it off? How many times I got to tell you about fair? So we'll find out. We'll find out, you know. But you can easily track this stuff. We'll take a look at it here. We got our ratings here. We read them every night. We'll tell you how the finale goes. 877-876-PHIL. So welcome to our news hour here. We have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. Middle-aged Americans hate their sex lives, and we'll tell you why. Plus, was it? That's because they can't have sex. No, we'll tell you why. Plus, was any movie able to come close to earning as much as Harry Potter this weekend? We'll tell you yes, many of them. In fact, one. No, I'm kidding. No, the answer is no, and we'll tell you all about that when we come back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back.
I'm going to just give you this because, and welcome back to our show, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. And also, we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. Go over to our website, take a look at live streaming video of the show right now, and listen to live streaming audio. And also, oh, all kinds of stuff going on, man. I found out something today. You know, I did a pre-show last week, and I said, you know, again, I talked to my subscribers, and I'm talking to you guys, my listeners, because what's happening in the world of radio online, and we do video, and video mobile is where it's at. Now, our stream, our video is the top, not highest quality. We have state-of-the-art video on our website. What I want to do is make sure that we are mobile not only to Evo phones and to Android phones, but also to the iPhone. And I have found out that the people we work with on our website will be unveiling in January a feature that will allow us to do just that to the iPhone. So I think that's exciting, and I want you guys to keep that in mind. It will be for on-demand video. Right now, we are live mobile on the Android and the Evo. I don't know if we will be mobile on iPhone live, but we will be with the on-demand. So that's really cool. And these are just little things that I want you to know as you go about your day. You know, this is where it's at. And I even, not to bore you, and I'll get into the other stuff we're going to do, but I even quoted an article from a guy in our business named Lee Abrams, who was talking about radio is stuck in around 1985 when it comes to technology. I mean, most places, they just don't get it about how we can interface, if you will, with the internet. We do it on this show. And why do we do it? So that we can provide you guys with the best experience you can listening to our radio show. You can listen to us. You can watch us right now. You can, as I say, with your Android or Evo, watch it live. You can watch it on demand. You can listen to our show on demand on any device at all. on demand. Go to your iPhone right now and listen. And we allow you to interact with our news feed. We've got all kinds of things, and we continue to improve it. So join us over there at philhenryshow.com. That was a really long commercial for the website.
Yeah, and I'm not going to stop letting you do that, man.
All right, hold on. Number two, you guys are asking me about networks, huh? You guys are asking me about, because I was just talking to Rance.
Look at that. Darren's the biggest load of bullcrap I ever heard what you're saying. You hear that?
Yeah, well, I don't believe it.
You don't believe it, huh? You don't believe it?
No, I don't believe it.
Well, listen to this. I'm going to say it again.
But you're going to say the same bullcrap story.
Yes, I am. If you think for 1 minute that one night of television doesn't mean all that much to these networks, these guys live and die on one night. And if one night of TV to ABC is representing the Dancing with the Stars finale, folks, they got to win that night. They've been kicking ass with this show. And why have they been kicking ass with this show this time around? Because of this Palin kid. Don't even worry about it. Don't worry about it. Now, these guys, I'm telling you, when they lose a night in network television, bodies fly out of windows, man. I mean, they will. You'll walk into their office in the morning, and the guy's just the body swinging from a noose, you know?
That is so weird, man. I mean, wow, you told me one night of TV.
Hold on for a minute. Yes, that's what I'm telling you. I'm walking out of an unnamed, I'll tell you that, I'm not, just not going to mention, I won't mention the name of the network, but I was walking out of an office one day at a TV network with some people, of friends of mine. And the night before, on this particular network, they debuted a show. And as I rounded the corner, there was a huge meeting, about 100 people. And I said to one of my friends, what is that? He said, that's so-and-so, and he's having a meeting. I said, how come? Because they just tanked on Sunday night with this new show. It stunk to high heaven. The next day, Monday, this show tanked, the big show, and they're having a staff meeting. By Wednesday, so-and-so that was holding the meeting was fired. And then, you know what I did?
What?
I went to my office at the radio network I was working at. I immediately emailed Matt Drudge, and he had it on his homepage. So anyway...
You're kidding me, man. What a douchebag.
Why? Why am I a douchebag?
Well, so in other words, what you did, man, is you took a man's misery, a man's failure, something a man, work on his whole life, man. You lift your leg and pee on it. Is that what you're talking?
If that's what you call emailing Matt Drudge, yes.
Oh, ha, 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 ha.
What do you want me to do, man? Emailing Matt Drudge equals lifting my leg to something a man's worked on his whole life.
You take something a blind man worked on his whole life and live your leg to it. Lord.
Well, don't get all blue singer on me.
Hey, shut up. Get all blue singer on me. I'm sorry, man. Middle-aged Americans unhappy about sex. Why is that? Because they're married. I don't know, but that's my theory. The U.S. generation that promoted free love in the 60s has grown old and cranky about sex, faced with performance problems, menopause blues, and an increased mismatch of expectations between the sexes. Middle-aged Americans are the unhappiest people of all when it comes to making love. A new Associated Press LifeGoesStrong.com poll shows. And who do you think is weighing in on this? Well, one of the most vibrant, vivacious, life-loving people in the world, Dr. Ruth.
I would like to see even more men and more women to be what I call...
In your bed. No, I'm kidding.
I would like to see even more men and more women to be what I call sexually literate, to really know what they need, what their partner needs, and to know how to pleasure each other. It doesn't have to always be towards sexual satisfaction, but how to make that interpersonal relationship a satisfying one.
What's he talking about?
I don't know, but that's Dr. Ruth, and she knows what she's saying. All right, we'll be back with more of this story. And Valerie Plame, how did the movie about Valerie Plame do at the box office this weekend? Well, it didn't beat Harry Potter, or maybe the Harry Potter movie is about Valerie Plame. Have you thought about that?
Very interesting.
877-876-PHIL, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Go to our website, check out our new Classic Phil podcast. This is a Classic Phil podcast from back in the day. It's called Bin Laden's Gonna Kick Your Ass, and it is there on the left side there. If you go to the website on the left side, you'll see our Classic Phil podcast. That is a free download, and we do that just for you, give you an idea of what we've got on our website. All right, now, here is the box office. If you want to know what was going on with the movies, Harry Potter beat everybody's brains in. Harry Potter, who has been a sweet kid, and he battles evil in his films, but when it comes to other studios, other actors, other directors, when it comes to that, Harry Potter will take their throats out, saw their heads off on the internet, hold it up, and then put it on their stomachs. That's Harry Potter.
Good God, man!
What?
Get the hell you doing talking about Harry Potter?
Even you think it's funny.
It's pretty funny.
You're talking about a Harry Potter saw, man?
Saw a guy's head off. I don't know. I mean, Harry Potter is a sweet kid, but when it comes to the competition involved in movies...
You're talking about Daniel Radcliffe, maybe.
No, Harry Potter. Harry Potter is Al-Qaeda to the rest of these movie makers. Harry Potter, 120... Robert, your reaction killed me, man.
Well, I'm telling you, man, that was like, that was way overboard, man.
No, it, why, just kidding around, man. Take it easy.
You're wet your pants.
I wet my, you wet your pants. I come up on you, man, you wet your pants.
I get it already.
Take it easy. Anyway, Harry Potter, hey, this weekend, $125 million, worldwide $300 million. So there's no end to the amount of money. I think I get it. There's no end to the amount of money we'll spend on movies. There you go. There's no end. It doesn't matter the economy. It doesn't matter anything. But I am going to predict something, and I have predicted this before, that this century will see the gradual decline, obviously the gradual decline and the ultimate end of the gradual decline and the ultimate end of movies as we know them because of the obvious ability of us to access entertainment in different ways, and
talking about like a holograph deck or something, huh?
No, I'm not talking about a holograph deck. I'm just saying, whether it's our little laptops or whatever we're doing, we are going to not only be able to just sort of turn our bedrooms into a movie theater, we're also going to be creating our own entertainment. We're going to be creating our own movies. We're going to be making things, you know.
Well, you mean like if you imagine it, it become a movie?
I ain't talking about something that weird, you know. But while the fun is there, have it. Here is Megamind, number two, made $16 million. Harry Potter made $125 million, and everybody else is really sucking the wind, man. $16 million for Megamind, down 47%. Now, the Harry Potter movie is out. This is its first week. When we tell you the money for next week, take a look at that number. Is it a zero percentage change or a positive? Very few movies go week to week, especially first week to the second week, positive. It's always, it seems like it's always negative.
What's that mean?
It just means that interest in a film falls off immediately. From the very first day, interest in a movie does one of those, you know. But Titanic and a few others, you know, have bucked that trend. And I mentioned on the show, I remember when Titanic came out, man, it was like every week that thing was going up. Every week it was like a positive number. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like Titanic for its instant and continuing appeal as a movie. Number two, Megamind. Number three, Unstoppable, $13 million, down 42%. Number four, Due Date, $8 million, down 42%. Number five, The Next 3 Days, no change, debuting at number five. Morning Glory is number six, down 43%. Skyline, which somebody said is a really, really good movie. You see it, bud?
No, but I want to go see it a lot. Somebody said that it's disturbing.
Yeah, I read that.
What's that mean?
It's so scary, it was disturbing. So scary, somebody probably had to, you know, go home and, you know, turn all the lights on or something. Red, $2 million, down 50%. For Colored Girls, $2 million, down 64%. And the Valerie Plame movie, the movie about poor Valerie Plame and how just, you know, terrible her life and everything, oh gosh. It made $1 million. It debuted, let's see, last week it was number 15. This week it's number 10. It made $1 million over this weekend. It's grossed $3 million total. Sean Penn's in it. However, it's up 42%. Huh?
That's different.
Yeah. So that is the only film on these top 10 that actually climbed. It's up 42% from last week. Now, it's still a Sean Penn movie, and it's a political movie. So a Sean Penn movie is a good movie. Unless it's a political movie, then it's a film that you should only throw your cup of Coca-Cola at the screen.
Damn.
That's what I think. All right, congratulations on all of that. So getting back to middle-aged sex, I wanted to play, did we already play Dr. Ruth? She had one more thing to say. Here's why middle-aged people, this is the Phil Hendry opinion, then we'll hear Dr. Ruth. Here's why middle-aged people are not having the great sex and this, that. Marriage.
What do you think about that?
Well, I'm going to have to start thinking differently about marriage. I'm not saying that it should be unfaithful. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying anything other than I think the whole concept of marriage needs to be reevaluated because it's killing sex. I'm telling you, it kills sex by middle age. Destroys it. It takes two people who were passionately in love and probably couldn't stay away from each other when they first met. And by middle age, you couldn't care less. Now, what is that about? And all of this bullcrap, like Dr. Ruth this and that and this and that, and I don't care how many people that I meet in middle age, we've been married 40 years and it's better than ever. Yeah, I'll bet it's better than ever. You know why it's better than ever? Because somewhere along the line there, Charlie, you were unfaithful and she brought you back into the fold and now it's better than ever, all right?
Oh, you say, man, that it's better for old people because they cheated on each other?
I'm telling you that when you meet people who are middle-aged and their sex is just great, something heavy happened. I don't know whether it was infidelity. It doesn't necessarily have to be that. Something heavy happened. I refuse to believe that ever since we were married, right on up to the middle age right now, man, it's just been great. No. And I'm telling you right now, marriage, the way we are married, I don't know what it means. I don't know. When I say it needs to change, I'm not sure what I'm talking about. But I'm not talking about being unfaithful. Women especially can't. That's just not in their makeup. I'm not saying that women can't be unfaithful. I'm saying that the way a man thinks, we got to just get over that, man. That whole thing about, she doesn't get it, man. I need to have sex with it. I get it. And every guy gets it. Women don't get it. So if you're going to be married, Charlie, forget it. Just forget it, man. Forget it. It's some other solution. It's either the way that we live with each other or the way that we... I don't know what it is, but I'm telling you, marriage is what murders. I mean, murders it as sure as it ran it over with a truck. Sex. Ain't that right, Dr. Ruth?
The media makes it sound as...
Oh, shut up. Now, here's another... No, I'm kidding. Here she is.
The media... makes it sound as if everybody should have sex from morning till night.
Right.
That's
well, they should.
Not realistic.
Bullcrap.
For baby boomers particularly,
you
they
do.
Have to know that it takes a
Dr.
longer
Ruth,
time to be able to have an erection. And for women, it takes a longer time of foreplay in order to have an orgasmic response.
Yes.
But if they do know that, then... Everybody, baby boomers and even older ones, will have good sex for the rest of their lives.
And then you'll be able to say...
Epic fail.
All right, so...
What are you talking about, man? Dr. Ruth sounded like she barely is awake.
Dr. Ruth, what I resent more than anything is the fact that she does have sex morning, noon, and night.
Are you kidding me, man?
Do I look like I'm serious? Yes, I'm kidding, but I bet you she does.
Yeah, she probably does on account of everything what she knows.
What are you, crazy? Did you hear that, lady man? She's barely alive, just like you said.
No, but she knows a lot about sexualities, and she's probably climbing it on a daily basis.
You really believe that, huh?
Yeah, I do. She's probably not everybody's like her.
Yeah, you know what? I don't disagree. I mean, I don't know, but you know what? Dr. Ruth, the way that she talks it up, the way she's so bloody, you know, every morning she's looking and saying...
He's huge.
All right, so 877-876-PHIL. So that's it. Get out of here with that story. No, why do I got to be depressed?
Bang.
Oh, man, all those stories, man, tell you where it's at.
Tell me where it's at. Well, you're middle-aged now, Phil, so... And by the way, guess what? No sex. I told you the time that I was over there. I don't know where the hell I was, but the lady says to me, so senior? And I said, no. And she pointed at the sign 55 plus. And suddenly I realized it was true.
He's huge.
I was a senior.
Yeah. But look at all the free stuff you get.
Woo!
Well, you get like early, or what do they call it, Rainbird Special?
Woo-woo-hoo! The Rainbird Special. What do I get, free sprinklers?
What do they call that?
Call it Early Bird.
Yeah, I was going to say Early Bird Special.
What? So what, man? The early birds. I don't care.
What, are you going to start to cry now?
Do I look like I'm crying, man? You know what? Every time you're bitching and moaning about something, kids say their principal broke into their house to see if they were really sick. This is a bizarre story, made more bizarre by the reporting. I'm not so sure there was a story here, and this is why I say to you guys that this is one of those, you know, this is why you really should, number one, note the source of the story. Number two, is there consistency in the reporting? Number three, what are they leaving out? What are the questions that you still have after you read the story? If you have a lot of questions, then they've left a lot out. Students who were homesick from school last month say they got the surprise of their life when the principal barged into their bedrooms in an attempt to catch them, quote, lying about being too ill to get to class. Michael DeQuattro is the father of these kids. The two boys are Vincenzo and Robert. Michael DeQuattro said his sons are now, quote, terrified, end quote, to go to school following the alleged incident. What does that sound like? That's language that you use when you're readying a lawsuit. According to DeQuattro, who I'm sure is completely unbiased, Ernest Jackson, the principal at Chester Academy in Chester, New York, Chester Academy, does that sound like a public school or private school? Sounds like a private school. Chester Academy in Chester, New York, arrived and entered the home where his kids were living without permission on October the 23rd. It's public? Chester Academy? It's public. Notice how I had to ask that question. Arrived and entered the home where his kids were living without permission on October the 23rd. DeQuattro only filed the police complaint this week because he said his sons were too scared to tell even him about what happened. The principal took it upon himself to arrive at my children's home. I guess he doesn't live with the wife. I don't know. So here's the guy. He doesn't live with the wife, and the kids are living at his house. Now, Mr. DeQuattro, he's all getting involved, and he's all upset. And I'm not saying that he doesn't have the right, but I'm not hearing from the mother here. You'll see. At home at 9:30 in the morning, along with the guidance counselor, this principal came to the house. This is DeQuattro telling ABCNews.com. They basically let themselves in, walked up the stairs, and into my children's rooms. The boy's mother called the school early that morning, explaining her sons would be home sick. Okay. DeQuattro said that his older son, Robert, had stayed home to watch the younger son, who had flu-like symptoms because their mother could not take a day off of work. All right, so DeQuattro is telling this from these guys would tell me? No. DeQuattro said that his older son had stayed home to watch the younger son who had flu-like symptoms. Both were dressed only in their underwear when DeQuattro allegedly entered the home. Not DeQuattro, but Jackson, but that's ABC's misprint. But maybe they misprinted it because they want to confuse you, because they want you to have questions, because they ain't got nothing to say here. They were not yelling or letting it be known they were in the home, and my son saw Jackson out of the corner of his eye when he was in the bathroom throwing up. Convenient. Jackson put his hand on Vincenzo's head to check his temperature and told him, you don't have a temperature, you're coming with me, the father said. The father is saying all of this because this is what his kids told him. And I'm sure that these kids never lie. Calls and emails sent to Jackson were not immediately returned, but Jackson's wife told ABC News affiliate WABC that, quote, there was more to the story that hasn't come out yet, no doubt. Because all we're hearing here is DeQuattro. And there's no question that this guy's running his yap. He's going to sue. And the principal isn't saying anything because you're directed not to say anything. DeQuattro claims Jackson then went to find his other son, Robert, who called his mother to tell her what was happening. At that point, the principal ran out of the house and said, see you at the school, according to DeQuattro, a guy that wasn't there. DeQuattro says he wants Jackson removed from his post as principal. Really? We could take your word for it there, Mr. DeQuattro? I want him out of the school. He shouldn't be around kids. He's sick in the head. Sick in the head. Nobody gave him permission to enter my kid's house. He violated their rights. Chief Peter Graziano of the Chester Police Department says that interviews are still ongoing regarding DeQuattro's allegations. A police report obtained by ABC News states that both children gave depositions to the police. We still have some witnesses to talk to, which we are running down, but the complaint looks like it's a simple trespassing case. There have been no reports or allegations that there was any other inappropriate behavior by the school official. If convicted of trespassing, Graziano said that Jackson could face up to 15 days in jail or a $250 fine. We've never handled anything like this. We've never had any problems with this man. This is not a typical complaint. So the police are saying, they're answering the questions honestly, we don't have any problems with this guy. It's a trespass. There's no other charges. The father, on the other hand, is saying the guy is sick in the head, needs to be removed from the school. So on and so forth. By the way, the father was not there. The boys were. The mother was at work. But the father is making all these statements on behalf. This is what my sons told me. And, of course, my sons never lie. And this guy sounds like he's got an axe to grind with this school. That's what he sounds like. World famous Phil Hendry Show, our number 877-876. Phil, coming up, Charlie Sheen finds himself in a couple of lawsuits. One of them is a porn star. Woo! We'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, there are so many interesting and fascinating things that go on in the world every day. So many things I could tell you about, but I can't because I've got two Charlie Sheen lawsuit stories to tell you.
Now I'm going to tell them, man.
I'm going to tell them. First of all, porn star Capri Anderson will file a criminal complaint against Charlie Sheen. She says she feared for her life. The adult film actress who was found in Charlie Sheen's hotel bedroom the morning of his arrest last month said today she would be filing a criminal complaint against the actor with the NYPD.
Right.
Capri Anderson told ABC News in her first interview, that name Capri, do you think that's a stage name?
I don't know.
It could be that her parents gave it to her on account of they was French.
Maybe. Capri Anderson told ABC News in her first interview that she was hired that night for $3,500 to escort Sheen to dinner, but that the night quickly turned violent when he realized he was a good 6 inches shorter than her, and it got violent. No, he didn't say that, but it turned violent in the Plaza Hotel room in New York. Sheen, she said, threatened to kill her and called her a whore. Well, she said, that's what I am. And he went smartass and smacked her again. She's filing a police report against Mr. Sheen today, Anderson's lawyer Keith Davidson told Good Morning America. She's going to the NYPD and report the action. Why don't you? You're her lawyer. I don't do that. I never expected the night would unfold the way it did, she told Good Morning America today in an exclusive interview that I'm sure they didn't pay for. I don't think they did. Here is some audio on the whole damn thing.
He definitely was growing more intense as the night grew and went on.
That's tough.
You know, it's hard to say, being that it was my first time hanging out with him, if that was normal of his everyday behavior or not.
Using racial slurs?
He seemed like a very egotistical
person. So what was he saying?
You know, I'm not even really comfortable repeating some of the things that he said because they were that vulgar.
But something that everybody would recognize as a racial slur.
Definitely.
By the way, did you know George sings? He does.
When you're really ready to play for Nevada.
I was sitting on the edge of a coffee table, and he was serving us both drinks.
Were your legs spread?
And he snorted something. I looked over. I can't tell you exactly what that might have been.
Snuff?
There's many drugs that come in.
It was a white powdery substance.
That would be talcum powder.
He started throwing things.
He threw a lamp?
He threw a lamp. That was the first thing he picked up.
Mm, good.
And
good choice.
He threw it across the room at me.
Yeah.
It was just
on cue.
When he started throwing things, I became very
come on, more
shocked,
tears,
scared. You know, so I knew at that point the best thing to do would be to try and get myself into a safe place.
Right.
I went for my cell phone, knowing that I couldn't really grab all of my things.
You decided to go to Twitter. So there you have it. And so I'm sure she's fine. And although I didn't think she teared it up near enough, and her lawyer will probably beat her for that. I mean, he'll probably talk to her about that. Phil Hendry Show, produced by Jason Ranch. Technical director is Charles Wagon. Our associate producer is Dan Northcraft. I'm Phil Hendry, philhendryshow.com. There. We're going to get paid, baby.
Yeah, I'm out of here, man.
Phil Hendry.